This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. Well, I know plenty of y'all ain't yawning because y'all been up early this morning to read these newspapers to see what went down in the town yesterday. Well, you're on the clock with Erin Green, and my guest in studio today is Mrs. Orinthia Komolafe, the leader of the DNA party. And after hearing the news yesterday, I quickly reached out to Ms. Komolafe and asked her if she would be available to come on this morning. Why? Because it's top news. Secondly, because I wanted to create a space for us to talk about it. As a woman, I wanted to create a space for another woman and her team members who had been through a traumatic experience for us to delve through the issues in a safe but productive way. I wanted to create a space where we could delve through the issues without sensationalizing the issues themselves, sensationalizing Mrs. Komolafe and their experience, and to really dig into what actually happened and what are the reasonable conclusions we can come to from those answers. Now, if you're watching on our live video feed, you'll see that I have on green today. I am declaring my, not bias, but my solidarity with Ms. Komolafe, and particularly with the experience that they had yesterday. I may not vote DNA. I may ask them some questions today that may cause some of y'all DNA members to cringe a little bit. But I opened the space with the intention of creating a productive dialogue, not with the intent of demeaning or bashing Ms. Komolafe and her team or the political agents and politicians and state actors involved in the discussion. It's my first time conducting an interview like this. I know I've been on the radio a long time, but oh boy, this is new to me. Good morning, Mrs. Komolafe.
Morning, how are you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you.
Very good.
First of all, jail ain't no place for nobody. No matter how polite the experience is, because we're not just talking about interacting with people, we're talking about interacting with a system. Another reason why I felt it was important to provide you with a space to speak about what had happened and to allow us to interrogate what happened yesterday is this, is because in judicial matters, right, there is the prosecution, the state, and then there's the defendant, right? And on the prosecution side, they have the weight of the state and all of its resources at their disposal to prosecute their case. And the defendant has just themselves and the resources they can put together. And so it's important for us to carefully, I like to use the word curate, right? To, with intention, create a space to delve into these issues. Like I say, it's my first time having an interview of this nature. And I want you to know what my intention is when I started. I also want to say good morning and thank you to your team who have proven to me, right, that not only are you guys a team, but they commit to their role in supporting you as leader and ensuring that every space that you enter into is safe, right? And that's important in politics, and it's important in governance as well. And so I want to say thank you to them for the rigorous interrogation they gave me this morning.
Absolutely.
Before we started. Right.
Yes.
Because that's their job.
Yeah.
And I know y'all, the listening audience isn't privy to off-air conversation, but I've told them this before when they've been in studio that's their job, and that's what I, as a woman, expect them to do, to ensure that their leader, whether a woman or not, but particularly because you're a woman, whenever you enter a space, it is a safe space, and that they use their critical thinking and spatial awareness to continually monitor that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's an ATM.
Awesome.
Who I appreciate, yes.
Awesome. So, tell us about what happened yesterday.
Well, yesterday we went in for questioning for a matter that supposedly took place on the 3rd of March of this month, the 3rd of March, 2021. On the 3rd of March, 2021, we held a flag day, which we asked persons who are members and supporters of the DNA to put their flags on their cars and to represent the DNA.
Okay.
Initially, we also had a flyer distribution and walkabouts. Initially, what we wanted to do was to have a motorcade. And we had applied for a motorcade, but was unable to have that motorcade because it was denied. So we just asked persons to represent the party and to put their flags on their vehicles. We also distributed flyers, which is something that we typically do. And this was part of a narrative that people want to see the DNA, and if they don't see them, we're not visible. So we were all across the island of New Providence on this day.
Okay, just stick a pin there, because when I read the papers this morning, right, there's a quote saying that where groups of persons sought to assemble in various locations throughout the city without first seeking permit for a demonstration and gathering. So I get it. This event didn't start at the House of Assembly.
It did not.
Okay.
We were all throughout the island of New Providence.
Okay.
On different intersections.
Okay.
With following social distancing protocols.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't mass gatherings. There
right.
were a handful of people here, a handful of people there, as we were just trying to capture the morning traffic
okay.
to get people our message out there.
Yeah.
Right? So this event took place on that particular day. We did go in the downtown area because, like I said, we were north, south, east, and west
yeah.
on the day in question. And we went to we were in the downtown area where we were by the Junkanoo Beach area.
Okay.
There is a particular restaurant that we frequent there, Tiki Hut,
yeah.
which is a friend of the party, right?
Yeah.
So we were there, and we went into the downtown area as well. And we were distributing our flyers along the way,
okay,
right, as we were typically doing. Now, we were there. We went into the square. When we got there, there was actually another grouping of persons there. To this day, I don't know which agency they were from. But there was actually another grouping of persons were also there.
Now, when you say agency, like that's a particular word. So there's a group of people. They could have been from another party. It could have been a civil society organization, but you don't know.
Yes,
they were.
Or they could have been a union. We don't know.
Okay,
but they were there,
yeah.
And they were on the northern side,
right,
of Rawson Square.
The Rawson Square side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, right. They were on the Rawson Square side, not on the Parliament Square side.
Yeah.
So we didn't go, we didn't go over there to their side.
Right.
We went to the Parliament Square side because they were already there.
Right.
We met them there. And again, I don't know which grouping that was.
I got you.
Yeah. So we were in. So when we did get to the Parliament Square side was when we were encouraged and admonished to come out of the Parliament Square side and to go over to
the Rawson Square side.
Which we eventually did.
Okay.
Right? We eventually did that. Now, that was 3rd of March. Last week, Thursday, was the first contact that we got from the police department. And last week, Thursday would have been what? The 18th or something?
Yeah,
or the 18th of March or something along those lines. So the national chairman had reached out to me and he had indicated or he had asked me if I had received a call from an inspector asking for us to come down to Central Police Station for questioning. So I said, no, not to my knowledge, I haven't received a call, but what would we be coming down for? And then he indicated the inspector had communicated to him it was regarding events that took place on the 3rd of March. So I'm trying to run back in my head what happened on the 3rd of March. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, we had this event on the 3rd of March. So I hadn't gotten the call, but when the inspector called me on Friday, and when I saw that and I had responded to that number, obviously I don't have the number coded in my phone, but I responded to the number when I answered the call, and then I realized that I had gotten a call 24 hours earlier. But I was on a talk show. I was on a talk show at the time, so obviously I couldn't answer the call. So the inspector called and he said, well, we want you to come down and we want you to come in for some questioning. So, and then he said, if you give me the available date, then I will give you the names of all the other persons.
Okay.
So he proceeded to give me the name of the other persons. It was our national chairman, and it was also other members of our team, candidates. They were all candidates. Yes, okay, as well as a member of our PR team.
All right. Were those people present in the activities that took place on March 3rd, the people that were called in?
Well, I could remember some of them were there, but honestly, I can't say because we were in the midst of who we were. We were in the midst of doing what it was that we were doing because we were all at different intersections on that morning.
Also, let me say here, let's be guarded, right? The commissioner, have you been charged with anything?
We have not been charged. Right. So we went in yesterday morning and we were booked and arrested.
Okay, so a couple of questions I want to ask you here. When you were booked and arrested, what was the charge? Were you arrested on suspicion of an offense, of committing an offense?
We were arrested on the charge of unlawful assembly.
That's it?
Yes. Okay. On the offense of unlawful assembly.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Did anybody in the interview process mention anything about entering the House of Assembly or attempting to enter the House of Assembly? Now, before you answer this question, this is what I really wanted to say. Let us be guarded, because although you haven't been
charged, it is still under investigation.
Right, and the Commissioner of Police has said that he's still determining what you could possibly be charged with. So let's be careful how we speak, because we don't want to jeopardize, right? First of all, it's difficult to even determine what you would be jeopardizing, right? Mm-hmm. But let's be careful to not say anything that would jeopardize your court case or potential court case or would lead to you being charged with something, right? Let's be careful.
Absolutely.
And I'll be careful in the questions that I ask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, did anybody mention in the interview the possibility that you would be charged with attempting to enter the House of Assembly?
Well, that was not an offense that was communicated, but it was in the line of questioning.
All right.
Yes.
See, because when I sat down and thought, why would they have arrested the DNA, right, yesterday? And I think, and then people say, okay, it's related to the march or the demonstration on March 3rd, right? And I said to myself, well, what was the difference between the demonstration and the campaign activities that the DNA conducted on March 3rd and the campaigning activities that the DNA, the FNM, and the PLP would have been conducting over the last 3 weeks, last couple months? And the only thing that could stick out to me was this potential charge and the reference by the Commissioner of Police that there may have been an attempt to breach the House of Assembly, right? Like, that's the only thing that I could think of that would warrant this type of action. Did anybody on your team, or anybody with you on the Parliament Square side, say anything that would suggest to the police that that's what your intention was?
Well, I don't know why that was something that was raised by the Commissioner of Police. As I said, when we were arrested yesterday, we were arrested according to the offense of unlawful assembly. That's
it. Right.
That was it.
Wow. And so, like I say, for me, you make a comparison of the types of activities that political parties have been engaged in over the last couple of months, right? The FNM have been campaigning in large groups, beyond the numbers given for the COVID restrictions in close proximity, right? The PLP and the FNM have held events, ratification events, political events, charity events that have caused people or created an environment where people have clearly and obviously breached the COVID protocols and regulations. What's the difference between what you guys did on March the 3rd and what these parties have been doing, and your party has been doing over the last few months?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. And, you know, again, the matter is still under investigation. We've been arrested on this charge of unlawful assembly. The question that really arises to us is, why is this matter coming up almost 3 weeks later?
Right.
Why wasn't it dealt with at that particular time? And I think that is the major concern for us.
Right.
Because if there was, in fact, a threat or a concern, and if there was an intention to arrest, then we submit that this should have taken place on the day.
Right.
Not sometime later. And it seemed as though that some level of discretion was used to determine when one is going to bring a charge or an arrest for a particular matter, and that is what concerns us. That is the issue there that we are absolutely concerned about and puzzled by.
All right. So let's delve into that, right? Because if I were the commissioner of police, the DNA was holding a demonstration in front of the House of Assembly while the House of Assembly was sitting, right? In the current political atmosphere, with the rise of so many opposition parties, new opposition parties, and with the new political voices and political discourse that have come with those parties, right? I said, for instance, a few months ago, we had somebody who at the time identified as the leader of a non-political group, right, said that they were going to war with the government. And that group eventually or subsequently morphed into a political party. So given the rise of these new political voices and a new wave of political rhetoric, was it reasonable for the police to not arrest you in the moment in fear that they may be inciting a riot and to wait a period of time to engage the process of determining whether an offense was committed?
Absolutely. I mean, if there was some threat and that was imminent and that was immediate, then that would have been the rightful time to carry out the arrest. You speak about these different groupings that are rising up that are protesting, demonstrating, expressing themselves, whatever we want to call it. And it's not just political groupings or activist groups, but there are also unions and persons engaged in the public service that are protesting, that are demonstrating, that are expressing their challenges that they have with however the political directorate may be acting or behaving. And so the question is, are these individuals being subject to the same process and to the same line of questioning that the DNA is being subjected to? So, for example, last week, the corrections officers were out last week. Mm-hmm. They went down to the headquarters of national security. Mm-hmm. They were very clear that it was not a protest, that it was not a demonstration. That's what they said.
Yeah.
That they were just there voicing their concerns for challenges they have had for the past several years. These persons, were they also brought in as well and questioned? Were they also considered to be threatening the public or the peace? Was that also an unlawful assembly? Because by the definition of an unlawful assembly, it's three or more persons gathered and any number of other identity and criteria are in there, but causing fear or a challenge in or causing peace or disorder or intending to create disorder. So what would be the difference, to your point, where you're asking, what is the difference in the line between the Democratic National Alliance and other political groupings, or the Democratic National Alliance and other political groupings or activist groupings or unions that are fighting on behalf of their people? What would be the difference?
I feel you. But here's what I note in the recent protest. Well, you say they said they weren't protesting.
Yes.
I would argue that that was obviously and definitely a protest by the corrections officers moving. See, because when they were at the prison, they voiced their concerns. Mm-hmm. I think when they moved to the Ministry of National Security, it becomes a protest, right? But I would say that in those instances, the police responded to both of you, both of these groupings similarly.
Yes.
Right? Because what I have seen is that there was a police presence at the Ministry of National Security when the prison officers showed up. There was an indicator that cars were towed. People were concerned that the military vehicles or at least one vehicle was
one
parked
was there yes.
to deter gatherers, right? And vehicles were towed. And so I think that there was a similar response to both groupings. But it leads me to another question.
But no one was arrested on the day.
Right, true.
One. And we do not have a public pronouncement that those individuals were called in for questioning as well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right.
Right?
That's a distinction.
And if you're going to call, because it was only 9 of us there yesterday. So if you're going to call persons in for questioning, in the case of the corrections officers, there were quite a bit of them there. Are you going to call all those individuals in for questioning? Are you going to book all of them? Are you going to arrest all of them? Mm-hmm. Are you going to consider a charge of all of them? These are the disparities that we're talking about in terms of following due process.
Right, right. So let me ask you a question. After all of this we've said, right, is this really a problem? Is this about political interference with other political parties? Or is this about a breakdown in a political system and a policing system, right? And that the DNA is a symptom of that problem, right? Like you guys are victims of a larger problem that other groups are also experiencing.
Well, it could be. It could be both, mm-hmm. right? It could be both. It could be a part of a political system. I mean, the inference does rise. Is there a politicization of an arm of the law enforcement branch?
Right.
Right? It does rise.
Right.
I mean, whether it's true or not, real or perceived, the question and the conversation and the discourse does rise.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the fact that no political leader who are being engaged in what they say are demonstrations or protests,
mm-hmm.
right, have been brought in for questioning at the level that we were subject to yesterday, one has to ask the question, does it rise where there is a political interference in the application of the law?
Right. So here's an interrogation, right, or an intervention. Cassius Stewart and Omar Smith were arrested after handcuffing themselves to the former prime minister's house.
Which is a different story. That is a completely different scenario.
Okay.
Right? Because we're talking in the case of where you're talking about, and again, remember, let's remember that the offense is unlawful assembly.
Right.
Their charge was a different.
Okay, so it's a different charge.
Absolutely.
All right. Here's the next intervention. You are the leader of a party, no doubt, duly elected and respected by your members. There's no question there. But you're not the leader of the opposition. So when we make a comparison to the now prime minister, who, when he was leader of the opposition, engaged in at least 2 protests.
At least 2.
One that could have been described as, well, both could have been described as unlawful assembly. And one protest resulted, at the end of the protest, there was property damage.
Correct.
To property that didn't belong to any of the protesters out there, right?
Correct.
So we know, like, we have this comparison, but is it a true comparison? Because at that point in time, he was the leader of the opposition. And so is the difference that they weren't arrested because of the office that they held? Or is it that they weren't arrested because of the office that they were held, and you were arrested because you're not the leader of the opposition, you don't have a formal function in governance?
Well, I mean, those are questions to be discussed, right?
Yeah.
And it goes back to your question about the political system.
Mm-hmm.
While I may not be, or other members of other parties may not be, the leaders of the official opposition, we are still leaders of a political party.
Right.
Yeah? So should we then be dismissed because we're not, quote unquote, Her Majesty's official opposition? We are still opposition, politically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And there are members and sectors of Bahamian society that follow our ideologies and our philosophy. And we are the voice, such as our democracy goes, we are the representative voice of a mass grouping of persons.
Right.
So going back to political systems, and we want to talk about the Westminster system and the fact that there is no representation for voices outside of a two-party system is a problem, is a challenge.
Well, no, I would say this. The problem isn't the Westminster system. The problem is the political culture where representatives, people who have been voted in to the House, think that they don't have an obligation to voice or to represent the varied political voices in their constituency.
And if they do not want to, and this is why this is something we have campaigned on, the DNA's platform has spoken to proportionate representation. And this is why I challenged the Westminster system. Because in a proportionate, with proportionate representation, there is an opportunity for more dissenting voices outside of two established parties to be at the table in the House of Assembly representing the wishes and the desires of groupings of persons within society.
Right. You see, while I think that this isn't necessarily political skullduggery, right? I am putting quotation marks. I think there is a political critique to be made, right? The point that you make is that you are the leader of a group of Bahamians.
Absolutely.
You are the leader of people who have identified themselves particularly in the electorate. And whether you hold a particular office or not, respect should be shown to you in that capacity. And I draw a link to a critique that I would have made earlier in the month about the Prime Minister's statements calling PLP MPs contaminants and the disregard for the position that those representatives hold in the country, in their constituencies, and it's a disregard and a disrespect of the people that vote for them and support them, right? And in the same way, right? So I see a political culture that is problematic, and you guys have become a symptom, right? You are a victim of that, of these problems that arise in that political system. But the real focus possibly should be on an eroding policing system, right? Whose erosion may be encouraged by a disintegrating political system that refuses to regard constitutional and parliamentary principles like separation of powers, right? For instance, the Commission of Police said, look, there was no political interference. I make decisions on my own. But the public perspective on that is entirely different. And that public perspective is informed by anecdotal evidence along with what we call insider information, things that people in those spaces know, but it's not public knowledge. And so I want to ask you this question. How is your experience, or how will your experience with this whole, from March 3rd to today, how will that inform the DNA's policies going forward, particularly on policing, the management and function of the uniformed forces, and the intersection of the political culture, where it seems that we don't have a clear separation of powers?
Well, this particular experience. Not that, yes, when you have time to think and you're looking back in hindsight and you think, well, you understand the issues and you've been campaigning on a particular platform. First, I want to say, because you referenced this whole point of the public perspective and the mindset that there may be political interference. And I can tell you why, in this particular instance, that position would be strengthened. Because if an event took place on the 3rd of March, supposedly unlawful assembly, which you should have made an arrest on the day or near the day if you wanted to arrest. We stood last week, Wednesday, with the corrections officers. And Thursday, we got the call. So it's difficult to not create a link between our standing there at National Security Headquarters and our being called in the next day and the day after. So when you talk about the separation of powers, this is what reinforces our tenets on moving toward a system that ensures true separation of powers, as well as ensure more checks and balance in the system. And this is why we talk about transitioning from the Westminster style of government, that not necessarily Westminster, but the democratic monarchy, to a republic. Mm-hmm. As in the office of the Commissioner of Police, which, while we say it is independent, it has the facade of independence. Mm-hmm. But we do not believe that it is independent.
Yeah.
And it could be subject to the directions of politicians.
Yeah.
Right? So we were, again, the party to campaign on that position of separating and making the office of the Commissioner of Police truly independent.
I got you.
And not subject to the political directorate or directions from politicians. So this whole experience just reinforces everything that we've been campaigning on in terms of ensuring that there's true separation of powers, not just in the branches of government, but also in the very important agencies that direct civil society and order and discipline within our country.
Thank you. Thank you. Because that was a bit of a heavy question. Thank you. So I got some texts here. I want to read them. You are under no obligation to answer them, because I haven't even read them yet.
Yes.
But I can read them. And then I got a caller here. Before we end the show, I want to ask you about this issue of gender bias.
Okay.
Before we end the show. So I got the first text here. This is from DNA. But he says, Miss Green, too straight. We accept your green as the DNA in this room today. Because he mean an FNM. He mean FNM too straight.
Oh,
but
is he the same one that texted last week?
Yes.
FNM too straight?
No, this is my boy.
Oh,
no, this is my friend.
Okay.
They text every week.
Okay.
Right? They text every day. And I like that. I like that. Right? But he say Miss Green. So we're going to accept that green and just say you supporting the DNA this morning. This next text is, isn't there a difference between campaigning in a particular constituency as opposed to gathering in Rawson Square without permission while the House of Assembly was in session? And so I think this, like when I ask the question, what's the difference between what you guys did and what people have been doing? They're saying, is it that you were in Rawson Square without permission while the HOA was in session? And is it reasonable for them to then have made this action?
But even if you were there and the charge is unlawful assembly, we still go back to the point of, why not then arrest on the day?
Right. And why arrest at all if it's a potentially ticketable offense?
Yeah, exactly. Why not just impose the fine if there is a fine? So the bigger issue here is the timing of when the Commissioner of Police or the Police Department decided to execute action on what they have been presenting as an offense.
Yes. I hear you. I hear you.
That is the big issue.
Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, for me, if you are not ultimately charged with attempting to breach the House of Assembly, then I'm more likely to believe that it's potential political interference. Not that there was a directive, you know. Now, I'm not saying that there was a directive from the Prime Minister to arrest, but that the Commissioner of Police could have considered the political implications when making his decision. Dear texter, please don't call. I cannot take your call on this line. The call-in numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. So let me read this text. Good morning, Erin and guests. To Mrs. Arinthia Komolafe, I say, stay anchored in knowing that the mission you are on is greater than self, and with the Lord's guidance and the people's ballots, your work on the people's behalf, I believe, will be fruitful. Yes, you are fit and equipped for the task at hand. I would argue.
Thank you.
That you don't even have to win any ballots, right? I would argue you don't even have to win a seat for your work as a party, as a political movement, to be effective, right? And so for me as a political advocate, I say worry less about votes and worry more about the change and the shifts that you are able to create in a particular
Absolutely.
Space.
Absolutely, and the DNA has always been about that. And that's why we say with the DNA, having been around, coming on 10 years in May, a lot of the policies that we have advanced have moved the country further. So we understand this notion that one does not have to be sitting in the halls of parliament in order to effect change. But of course, our ultimate goal is to make it to the halls of parliament.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I ain't fighting that.
Yeah.
I ain't fighting that. You know, like you say, I'm one who believes that not only does not everybody has to be in frontline politics, but we require people with skill sets. We require people who could be in frontline politics to take a step back and fill the other gaps and the other spaces in the party, right? For it to function as an entire unit at that level.
Absolutely.
Of governance. I got a text here. It's less to do about you. It's more to do about the commissioner of police. And I'm gonna paraphrase this texter. The commissioner of police needs to resign. He's too politically motivated. Before he made the decision to arrest the DNA, he had to pause. It seems like he wanted to talk to the PM. He's mixed up. I don't think that's a reasonable inference to make, texter, because some people out here are saying, are we not thankful that the police paused and thought and investigated before they made an arrest? Aren't we thankful that they didn't just snap at it like they quick, because you know some of them quick to slap, right? Aren't we glad that in this instance they paused? And that leads me quickly to my question about gender bias. Why do you think this is gender bias involved?
Yeah, so as I said, the inference of some interference politically rises because of the timing mm-hmm. and the chronology.
Right.
The inference also rises of gender bias because of the peculiar characteristics of the Democratic National Alliance, which is the fact that they have a female leader. I've said multiple times, and I said it on your show as well, I do not campaign on gender. Mm-hmm. I never have. It's always been on competency, capacity, capability, vision, etc. So if then... And I know you're going to raise a point because I thought that was an interesting point too. If then there was some charge or some cause of threat, then on the day in question, you would think that an arrest would be made on the date.
Mm-hmm.
This now comes a couple of weeks later, and I have to continue to say this because it is not unconnected, that our stance with the corrections officer and then now coming forward to create, which many believe to be scare tactics, intimidating tactics, political intimidation, mm-hmm. to really have an impact on the DNA's and its efforts in moving forward or pushing its agenda.
All right. So let me tell you where I think the gender bias may have arisen. One, they decided to not arrest y'all on the day because you are a woman, a female leader, right? And they didn't want to make martyrs out of you because they felt that if we arrest a woman leader in this space, in this way, we will be accused of sexism or misogyny or handling her roughly. And so they said, we're not going to do that and make martyrs of the DNA and of this woman.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting position, but still, whether you arrest the DNA leader today, tomorrow, 2 weeks later, obviously you see the inference still rises.
Right. See, but then also here's another gender bias. They're relying on you to be the polite, respectful, decent, civil woman that you
and
are.
And come in quiet and
right.
peacefully
right.
and not cause a ruckus.
Right.
Right? So, but the bigger issue, even if we don't focus on the gender issue, the bigger issue is... That's how you use your discretion
right.
when you are going to apply the law.
Because look here, you born in Fox Hill?
I wasn't born in Fox Hill.
You think I arrested any woman who born in Fox Hill in front of House of Assembly?
I'm from Bain and Grandstand.
Ooh, that's even worse. Miss, that's even worse.
Yeah.
We think of the gender bias, right? Like, I saw bits of the video. I saw you pushing up. I know you used to play basketball. I saw you putting a little, no hands, no physical contact. You just body in the right place. It may have been a bad look to arrest you then.
But some say on that day I was roughed up anyway.
I mean, I think it was a little rough.
I was roughed up anyway.
But this is what we expect in this type of political engagement, right?
Perhaps it's come to be expected. But I will say this: Are you now choosing when to apply the law based on gender?
Right.
That becomes a scary issue as well.
Yeah.
And I thought the other point you were going to raise was when you talk about gender bias. Well, if it's a man, would they arrest him on the day because no one would think anything of it?
Right.
And then, but the woman gets some slack and then you come and arrest her 2 weeks later.
Right. And politely ask her to come in because you know she's a polite woman.
So it's gender bias toward men too.
Yes.
So you understand the point. In the application of the law, there should be no prejudice in the application of the law and the bias. Like we have this maxim, justice must not only be done, but must seem to be done. Right?
Yeah.
There should be no prejudice, no bias.
All right. So I get 3 calls on the line. Callers, I get 3 minutes to entertain you, so you get less than 60 seconds each. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you there?
Hey, Erin Green, how you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you do?
I'm well. Always good hearing your voice. And also, Coleman Appy.
Hi, yes.
Always good hearing your voice. But you know, thank you. I'd also like to thank the opposition woman, Glenys Hannah-Martin, my woman in the BLP, who come to your rescue.
Yes, she did. She stood with us most of the day. She was there.
Yeah, but you didn't give her thanks, my dear. I hope you...
Yes, I gave her thanks.
All in the papers this morning.
Yes,
me.
I did.
Sorry.
It's me
I
who ain't give her a chance to give her thanks because you ain't hear the next question I have to ask her.
Let me say this so that I can hear the next question. I'm ashamed of the FNF woman. They didn't put politicalness aside and support you. You are the court, not just for DNA. I listen to you all the time. I follow you, you know.
Thank you.
So I'm a BLB. I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
I might fall in love with your body.
Okay.
Well, I'm a BLB right now. But what I'm trying to say is they should have come to your rescue. You know, they didn't come to your rescue. Erin Green said she used up said thanks. So I appreciate on behalf of my body. I appreciate you saying thanks and sure, because in all courses, we must put up a political society, Erin Green, and wait for the court. That's
yes,
court.
Absolutely.
Keeping democracy alive.
Thank you.
I thanked her as well as your leader, Mr. Davis, because he also called as well.
All right. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. Next caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning. I only have a minute to say. I'll try to guard my statement as carefully as possible because of, you know, the legal ramifications, eh?
Yes, sir.
I think this is a wonderful time in the history of the Bahamas, what has happened yesterday, because it's actually somebody has their hands on this country without calling it any names, and it's pushing these buffoons in the abyss. And I hope the Bahamian people can clearly see what the Westminster system has done to us through these two political parties.
Thank you very much, caller. Let me just make a critique here. I think it's very important that we refrain from labeling and sort of attacking people and focus on interrogating systems, right? Because what we've seen over the last 30, 40 years is it doesn't matter which people you put in the system.
It's a systemic issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Westminster system in and of itself may not be the problem, but it may be the bastardization of the Westminster system, right, into a new system that we barely understand. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Lady Green, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm fine, thanks. And I want to send my regards to your resilience. She made me so proud to be a woman yesterday, exhibiting such poise, such resilience, and such strength yesterday. I know you said that we only have 60 seconds, so I'm going to say it very quickly. Yesterday was bigger than any political party. It was bigger than the DNA. It was bigger than the FNM. It was bigger than the PLP and the Coalition Independent Party. Yesterday, we saw a Bahamian. It was about being a Bahamian, standing up for your right, your constitutional God-given right. And I applaud all of the ladies who came through, especially during this Women Month. We had Loretta Butler Turner. We also had Glennis Haddon Martin, and we had, you know, Lady Komolafe. We had a mother. And listen, I am just so proud of those women. We have to not allow political bullying to continue in this country. The Commissioner of Police, this is my last point and I will go. The Commissioner of Police, he ought to be ashamed of himself to say that the police saw a crime being committed and they waited 3 weeks later to go and arrest the person. That is absolutely absurd. Anyone with common sense knows that it is a bold-faced lie.
Thank you, caller.
And to that caller's point also, when asked if the Commissioner of Police was asked about the large groupings by the other political parties, the PLP and the FNM, he said he had no knowledge of it, when pictures or videos are all out there to see. So this disparity and this prejudice is very open and is very biased for persons to see, and people who have eyes to see can see them.
Right. Well, let me tell you what my perspective on it is. My perspective is this, is that our systems are crumbling and they're failing to the extent that it is impossible in virtually every situation to make a clear, an absolutely clear determination of what has happened or what has motivated that behavior. And like when I talk about violence and murders in the LGBT community, I say it is impossible to determine whether cases are unsolved because the police do not have the will to solve them, mm-hmm. or because the community isn't committed to providing the information necessary to resolve them. In the same way, our systems are crumbling, and it's almost impossible to determine whether actions are intentional and malicious, or whether they are a result of incompetence and dysfunction within a particular system.
Valid point.
But it's incumbent on those people that maintain those systems to do their best.
Exactly.
To follow the rule of law, to follow the procedures and policies in place. And when they don't seem correct, to take the time to interrogate them, to call the AG's office and ask for an explanation of the law before just acting out of your own, what you call your own knowledge, right? Or your own authority. And so although I've taken,
for your own discretion.
Right, that's the word, your own discretion. Mm-hmm. It's important for those people who hold these offices to take these...
To maintain the integrity of the office.
Right, and to see the importance of that and the importance of maintaining the rule of law.
Absolutely.
And so as we leave the show, I say to you, I'm going to read some text, the last thing I can do, but I say to you that when the DNA party ascends to the House, whether it's one seat or five seats, or when you all win the whole government, it's important, it's integral to your governance that you compel your party members to understand this obligation, right? Because unless we follow those lines, right, those rules, unless we stick hard to them when it is our job to do that, we will be continually wondering whether our rights have been breached intentionally, unintentionally, right? Or whether the system is failing and we'll never figure out how to fix it.
Absolutely.
And so again, you know, the last point to you is how will this experience inform your government going forward?
Well, it's just very clear, and it's an issue we've been campaigning and all. There must be transparency and accountability in our systems and in the administration of the rule of law. There must be integrity. Mm-hmm. And the persons holding those offices must ensure that there's integrity and that they have good character in those offices.
Right. And the last thing I would want to say is, also, you are a woman of privilege. I am a woman of privilege. And I know that my experience with the police has been far different from many other people. Mm-hmm. I ain't never been dragged onto that bus and taken on that long ride for a quick slap, right? It's important to note that the experiences that we have...
There are disparities.
Yes.
Yes. And I can say that, and I said this, we were treated very professionally yesterday by the police, by that particular location there at Central Police Station. All the police officers were very cordial, very professional. But I'm also aware of the fact that that is not everybody's experience. And this is why I talk about the integrity of these offices and being able to ensure that we're not being prejudiced based on one's social background, economic background, or gender, whatever the case may be. And as I said last week, to creed, religion, all of that. We must have openness, we must have transparency, and we must have equity in the application of the law. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, too, because in addition to those women that showed up, the Honorable Glenys Anna Martin and Loretta Butler Turner, there were other women that were there as well that stood. I understand. I didn't get to see them, but they were out there. Cheryl Bazard was also out there. Shami Farrington Austin, who was the independent candidate in Andras, as well as Miss Charlene Paul, who was the president of the Caribbean Institute for Women in Leadership.
Yes.
So it was a show of solidarity among political groupings. It was a show of solidarity among women. Political groupings.
Awesome.
And so it was a very powerful day for the Bahamas yesterday.
All right. I get a number of texts here. One person is sending, I think this is a statement of support for your husband and the stress he must have been under.
Right.
He wanted to go in there and junkanoo the police station to get his wife back. Good morning, Aaron and Ms. Komolafe. Ms. Komolafe, did you hear from Branville McCartney yesterday? Don't talk the DNA internal business on the show. Somebody says, here we go, gender victim card again. No, I think we had a thorough interrogation of where gender bias could have occurred and may have occurred.
In both instances.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good morning. I think this is the worst government and worst commissioner of police in the history of the Bahamas. God help us. Well, look here, I'm going to have to start a party so you could elect me and I could test that out, hey? Please make these wild assertions, man. But thank you for texting
me. That's your
all-woman
party you're going to start, like you said last week.
Boy, look here, all-woman party funded by Sea Grape and Scarlet Plum. Good morning. Despite what she is saying, I feel that it was gender bias. I tried to listen to her on Wendell Jones' show where he repeatedly talked over her. This will continue to be her challenge. But I think there's a general gender bias in society. Yeah.
And we recognize it and we just work through it.
Right.
But we must have the discussion.
Absolutely.
We must have the discussion.
And we have to be at the table.
Absolutely.
And if I have to bring my own chair and put it on the table and sit where the center is.
But we're not claiming victim status, because that's the last thing I would do, claim victim status.
Right.
It's just a reality and that you're pointing out and addressing the issue.
Right.
It's simple.
An interrogation of the system and how it works and
Absolutely.
Doesn't work. This is intimidation and political victimization. The commissioner, when asked why the PLP and FNM have large groupings on the weekend, he was not aware. The point you made already. Well, this is the question that we need to interrogate, right? Because there's been a breakdown in the political culture and the political system.
And the application of the law, because you have these large groupings of in breach of the orders, all of these persons not following social distancing protocols, they're not following the law. But we've seen time and time again over the past several months at least how there's been a selective application of the law and to different persons of different groupings, whether it's political or whether it's your socioeconomic background.
Okay. A last text and then we're out of here, people. Hi, don't know the details, but it's sad what happened in our country. We gained our independence because our founding fathers were able to peacefully protest and get change regarding who the complainant is. In my humble opinion, that answers itself. And that question has already been answered by the Commissioner of Police, right? The police officers were the complainants in this instance. Hi, don't know the details, but it's just a repeat of the text. Thank you very much, Texter. Part of the reason why I brought Ms. Komolafe in this morning was to give her a space to speak about what happened and to attempt to create a space where we can interrogate what happened so that we can come to reasonable conclusions about the police's actions, the DNA's actions, as opposed to delving into gossip and pushing political narratives that are formed for anybody's particular political agenda. I hope that we were able to do that today, Ms. Komolafe. I would like to continue.
It's never enough time.
Right.
The systemic issues are so great.
Right, but that's why we continue to talk about them day
Absolutely.
After day. And we chip away at them day after day.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. In the interest of the fact that the case or the matter is still potentially before the police and the courts, I limited the types of questions that I asked you today. There's some hard questions I wanted to ask you, but this is not the time or the space for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us in this conversation today, Bahamas. You've been tuned into 96.9 FM. This is On the Clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned for Unleashed with Lee Van Miller, coming up next. Mm-hmm.